talking to the Buffalo Bills' Deion Dawkins about the NFL and cornhole, plus an NBA player has been banned for life, and Travis Kelce is somehow making time to be a full-time media producer, and will be checking in on the latest in sports media. It's Thursday, April 18th. I'm Owen Poindexter, and this is Front Office Sports Today. Time now for our weekly check-in on the world of sports media with tuned-in columnist Mike McCarthy. Welcome, Mike.
Great to be here.
Great to have you on. I feel like we've talked about Caitlin Clark a lot recently, but she keeps doing things we haven't seen before. What kind of numbers did we see for the WNBA draft?
Well, it was staggering. 2.5 million people tuned in to see her name be called. It wasn't even a game. You know, it was one of the highest-rated, most-watched WNBA telecasts ever. And again, it's just a draft. So the one thing Caitlin Clark does consistently is shatter TV ratings. I mean, during her run to the championship game, she shattered 3 in a row. And she just shattered another WNBA TV rating. To me, that night was more like a coronation than a draft. And what it really told me is that the WNBA has arrived big time.
What will you be watching for over her first season in the WNBA?
Well, the first thing I'm going to be watching, Owen, is the Olympics. I'm thinking of starting a movement, a letter-writing campaign to Team USA to make sure that Caitlin Clark is on this Olympics team. Because can you imagine the ratings that NBC would get if she's playing for Team USA with Diana Taurasi and all these WNBA legends in Paris? It would be off the hook. So that's the one thing, the big thing I'm watching. And she is eligible and she does want to play, but it's up to Team USA. The second thing I'm going to be watching is the strategy of using her nationally. I think it's a very, very bright idea by the WNBA and its media partners, Owen, to nationally televise her games. Right now, everybody's got a fever for Caitlin Clark. They want to see her play in the WNBA. So show her nationally instead of locally.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopping over to the Masters, you wrote a column recently asking if golf has a Scottie Scheffler problem. Usually the big stars, and, you know, he's the biggest, he's playing the best anyway, are, you know, they're the big draws. But what's the story with Scheffler?
Here's the problem. He's boring. It's like he's like watching paint dry. Great guy, great talent. I admire his footwork. You know, I admire him as a person. Modest, soft-spoken. But, you know, you're not watching Arnold Palmer charge there at the Masters, hitching up his pants and smoking a cigarette. You know, this guy is totally emotionless. He plays like a machine. And even on Sunday when he was tied with a couple other guys, it just feels inevitable, right? It doesn't feel like anybody's really giving him a push. And I think what happened is it's no fault of Scottie Scheffler that he's dull. That's just how he comes across when he plays. And it's not his fault either that and all the people who had personality on the PGA Tour, you know what I mean? Like the Patrick Reeds, the villains, have now gone over to live golf. It seems kind of vanilla. So, I mean, I personally, you know what I mean? I'm a fan of Scheffler. I admire him as a person and as a player. But as a TV property, he's dull as dishwater.
And can we parse out what's kind of the boringness of Scheffler versus is this a golf issue more generally? Like is there any kind of downturn you're seeing in golf viewership, or is it just that he's dominant and when he's winning, you're like, okay, I can kind of tune out here?
Golf needs rivalries, right? What do we think about when we think about golf? We think about, you know, Tiger taking on Sergio and Jack, you know, taking on Watson and Arnold taking on Jack. You know, you need those head-to-head rivalries. And Scheffler just seems to grind down his opponents and grinds down the course. I mean, if he's winning every tournament, probably 3, 4, or 5 shots, there's no drama at all. It's a coronation for him. So what I think is he needs some real competitors who are going to push him, and then you'll see the roars, and then you'll see the excitement. And the other thing is, look, I don't know if he can do about this, but I watched every round of the Masters this year, and the guy walks across the course, head down. He doesn't interact with the crowd at all. You know what I mean? He doesn't react to shots, good or bad. I mean, he's emotionless. And, you know, as a TV viewer, he does not draw you in. you know, the way a Nicholas or a Tiger or a Phil Mickelson would, you know, some swashbuckling nut job. I think the only guy who had that during the Masters was DeChambeau. You wanted to see what he would do next. With Scheffner, it just kind of feels inevitable, and that's dull.
Yeah. Finally, this week, legendary Yankees broadcaster John Sterling called it a career at the age of 85. Any thoughts on Sterling?
Well, I mean, it's like the soundtrack of my youth as a Yankee fan. I mean, you know, this is a guy who called the great Yankee dynasty. You know, he was there every day. Yeah, you could, you know, parse him. He was inveterate at ham. He was kind of like one of those showbiz throwbacks with his, you know, his crazy calls and all his signature calls and all that. But a guy like that is a legend, and he deserves to be respected on the way out. I mean, it's kind of sad that both him and Vern Lundquist are ending their run almost within a week of each other. As you know, Vern just called his 40th and last Masters, and he's retiring at 83. And I hate to see those old timers go. You know, they got great pipes still. They've got so many stories, but you know, that happens to everybody sooner or later.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike McCarthy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Owen.
The NBA has banned Jontay Porter for life, saying that he gave confidential information to bettors, limited his own participation in games to manipulate bets, and bet on NBA games. According to the league, prior to a game on March 20th, Porter told an NBA bettor that he wasn't feeling well, or at least that he was going to say that he wasn't feeling well. That bettor then put $80,000 on a prop bet that Porter would underperform. Porter played 3 minutes and then left the game due to illness, and the bettor won $1.1 million, or they would have, except the bet was frozen due to suspicious activity. The NBA also disclosed that Porter made at least 13 bets on the NBA this year while with the Raptors or their G League affiliate, including multi-game parlays where he was betting on the Raptors to lose. He didn't play in any of those games, and none of those parlays won, but all in all, he bet $54,094 over a three-month period and profited just under $22,000. Legal sports betting allows for more heavy-handed monitoring so that it's easier to sniff out sketchy things like someone risking $80,000 on a fringe player to underperform in a specific game, but it also makes that corrupt activity much more doable in the first place. The bargain that the NBA and every other league has made here is to cash in on sports betting at the cost of seeing headlines like this on a regular basis. If you had told me last week that there is a person who produced a recently released fictional film that grapples with PTSD among war veterans, is producing a documentary on postmodern painter Jean-Michel Basquiat, and is hosting a music festival in Kansas City, I think I would have guessed Spike Lee. If you had told me it was a sports figure, I might have gone with maybe Shaq. I'm not sure. But it would have taken me a long time to get to Travis Kelce. The Kansas City Chiefs star is keeping busy this offseason with all of the above, plus he's hosting a game show on Prime Video called Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity, and he's doing a live recording of the New Heights podcast at the University of Cincinnati's football stadium. The music festival is the second iteration of the Kelce Jam, which is happening in May, and will feature Lil Wayne, Diplo, and 2 Chainz, among others. Warning to those who are thinking of attending, last year Kelce sang on stage with Machine Gun Kelly, and he's liable to do it again. As all this suggests, whenever Kelce decides to join his brother in retirement, and don't worry, Chiefs fans, I haven't heard any rumors, he will have a very full career in media waiting for him. Up next, Deion Dawkins also has some non-football projects, but his are focused on cornhole. My colleague David Rumsey caught up with Dawkins on his other favorite sport, and that conversation is next.
All right, we are here with Buffalo Bills 3-time Pro Bowl left tackle Deion Dawkins, as well as Stacey Moore, the commissioner of the American Cornhole League. Don't worry if that sounds like an odd pairing at first. We'll explain. But first, Deion and Stacey, thanks for being here. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having us on. The crazy thing is you should have introduced Stacey first, because I would have introduced Stacey first. You got to introduce Stacey and then Deion. It can't be Deion and Stacey. It's Stacey. Stacey is big dog. Deion is big dog too.
Double D, I appreciate that.
So this weekend will mark the first event of the ACL's annual Super Bowl series, where Deion will be among 8 NFL players competing against each other and alongside professional cornhole players. I suspect a lot of people won't be too familiar with this. So can you guys just explain a little bit about what's going on?
Yeah, this is what we call our ACL Super Hole series. We started it 5 years ago with the Battle of New York, where we had Sam Darnold versus Daniel Jones, and we paired them up with some ACL pros to play a doubles match against each other for the Battle of New York. That has evolved into what we're doing this season, which is eight different qualifying events where we'll have four current NFL players participating in each one alongside an ACL pro teammate to then determine the championship bracket. So we got eight qualifying events, and then we'll have a championship event, and we're giving over $100,000 to charity here this year to the player's charity of choice.
Yeah, that's awesome. Dion, from your perspective, why is this so exciting?
Well, number one, you get the throwbacks. Two, you get to talk smack. Three, you get to eat good food. Four, you get to be around some of the best people that I've been around in my life. And I truly mean that, you know, like you, with the course of the NFL and professional sports, you come across a lot of people that usually want things and da da da. When you're in this cornhole environment, you know, everybody's just not in their own world, but we're in our own world where we're all the same. We're all the same. We all pick bags up. All other guys there are drinking their beer and doing and but their thing and honestly talking their smack. And when you get to talk smack to football guys outside of the uniform, and then you get to talk smack to them in the uniform, it's like a double whammy. Like, you could talk smack to somebody on the cornhole board like, look, you can't beat me in cornhole, and you can't beat us on the football field. And then it just keeps us riled up because we're just a bunch of competitors. But it's a cool deal. Like, it really is. And I've done a lot of cool and fun things in my life, but when it comes to this cornhole, it's a different type of love.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just go through the players here. Obviously, we'll have Dion, and as well from the Bills, we'll have his teammate Daquan Jones. And then from the Saints, we have Derek Carr, Juwan Johnson. From the Patriots, we have Matthew Judon, Kendrick Bourne. And then finally from the Cowboys, we have Eric Kendricks and Brandon Cooks. What's kind of the model here, guys? Are you hoping to maybe one day have players from every team compete in this? I know that's not exactly going to be the case this year, but it seems like you have a really nice variety of guys from different teams.
Yes. Yeah. Well, overall, like, we want to get every team involved. Like, we want every team to touch the cornhole boards. We want every team to have their own bags. We want everybody to toss a bag, get in the hole, man. Toss a bag and get in the hole. So, yes, we would love for every team to wind up being involved, and that's where we're pushing for now. So,
yeah.
Yeah, this year should.
Yeah, this is the first season that we're testing out this head-to-head team format. So out of those eight players that you mentioned, that's actually 2 1-hour shows on ESPN. And so we've got the Bills versus the Patriots, and we got the Saints versus the Cowboys in 2 1-hour shows. So you get to see a current Bills player, you know, play against a current Patriots player. That should be a lot of fun. And it could be two Bills players in the finals. I know that's what Deion's hoping for, to make sure that the Bills represent in the championship match.
Come on.
And he's hoping it's going to be him this year because he's lost the past 2 years. So we got to make sure that he gets in there.
You weren't supposed to tell nobody that, Stacy. Yes, well, I have lost past 2 years, but we'll be okay.
Yeah, Stacey, you mentioned you're going to be on ESPN2 for a couple hours Saturday night. You obviously have some well-known NFL players. What's the business model here? Can you just take everybody behind the scenes a little bit about how this is working?
Yeah, this business model is primarily driven by sponsorships. So the more sponsors, the better. We can give out more money to these players' charities, the more sponsors we can get. We're also launching a program called My Bags, My Cause. So we're going to have custom bags for every current player that's playing. They'll be playing with these bags on television next weekend, and a limited edition Limited number of them will be available for sale, and a big portion of the proceeds will go to that player's favorite cause.
And that's all. Is that kind of part of that $100,000 to a charity that you mentioned up top?
That's all. That's all in addition. So we have $100,000 based on our current sponsorship levels. Hopefully that'll increase here through the season, and we'll keep on growing the pot.
Dion, from the NFL side of things, is the NFLPA involved in this at all? What's been the reaction from your peers as you're kind of recruiting guys to come do this with you?
Yeah, it's all of it. It's the front office, it's the PA, and it's the current players, and even the post players. Well, is that what you call it? Post players
legends.
Or
legends.
Retired players, but legends. Like the legends, everybody loves it. Everybody loves it because it's just another form for us to compete and to show our dominance, right? Like, we could be throwing a paper ball into a garbage can, like, and people are going crazy for it. Like, we could be playing paint and ping pong in a locker room and people are going crazy for it. So bags is just another source, honestly, of therapy for all of us. Like, it's very, very soothing. We use it in that sort of in therapy flow, and the guys like it, and it's been getting a lot of positive feedback, because for some of the guys that I'm bringing it up to, but like, they're like, Coral, like that's like the cookout game, right? And I'm like, yeah, it's the cookout game. And they're like, you're playing this on ESPN? Like, and we're like, yeah, so ESPN. And then we send them the reels and the videos, and they're like, this is the coolest thing. Because most people don't really, well, for the people that don't overly know, like, it's an actual stage. It's a stage. It's a setup. It's production. It's the lights. It's everything that we go through on game day, just in a tighter knit form. So we all love it. Everybody likes to get on camera and do their thing. And this is another way for everybody to get on camera and do their thing.
Yeah, so obviously this event is going to be in New Orleans, kind of ties in with the Saints, going to some other big cities too. Stacy, what kind of crowds are you expecting at these venues for these events?
Yeah, so we're expecting several thousand people to come out. We have a limited number of seats, so we do have an intimate court that will seat about a maximum of 2,000 people. So that's about our cap, but we're expecting a very rowdy crowd in New Orleans, and it's a lot of fun. It gets real intense out there on the broadcast court.
Right. And Dion, I hear that you're adding co-commissioner of this series to your title alongside your NFL accolades. Now, is that fair to have the commissioner competing in the league? I don't know about that.
I mean, listen, everybody has their own opinions. You're entitled to your own opinion, David, but, if you're still a current player, I think it's okay. It just brings just that much more fun to it. It just shows that you can do this at any stage, at any age, at any skill level, at any, honestly, like, you can do it at anything. Like, your grandmother, your mom, your older brother, your younger brother, your younger sister, anybody can pick up bags and toss it. So it just kind of shows that no matter what that title is, no matter what that age is, everybody is on an even playing field, because just because it says co-commissioner does not mean that I'm the Tom Brady or the Josh Allen of American cornhole.
I think it puts an extra mark on his back for guys to want to beat him. So
for sure.
not only will Deion's trash talking get him fired up, but I think that they'd like to take a shot at taking down the co-commish.
Dion, I mean, NFL players are obviously so busy during the season and in the off season too. So how does this fit into events like these in general, fit into an NFL player's busy off season?
They fit where you want it to. Like, in the off season, you give time to the things that you choose to give time to. And with being able to travel to another state when you're in OTAs and things like this, you just have to just pick and choose. Like, do you want to stay in Buffalo and relax, or do you want to go throw some bags, or do you want to go and help an organization and network and talk to people and make people laugh and make people smile? I'm just one that I like to do and not to do. Like, I feel like that I am a different type of person, and I would always rather be present than not be. And with this cornhole stuff, I'm telling you, David, even if you decide to pop on out, you will see that this is one of the coolest events that is created. And you would have never thought, but it'll be an Olympic sport, and it'll be an Olympic sport for a reason.
Well, hey, I'm interested to see how you and everybody else do, because I can throw a couple bags myself. I can win a match or two. So I'd love.
Well, come on, I'm challenging you, my boy. Let's go. I got Marlon. I got Stacy. I got Adrian. I got Lori. What's up? We got players now. You pick your poison.
Let's go. I love it. And Stacy, obviously, you're going to be on ESPN 2. The ACL has a wider deal with ESPN. You guys just extended. Well, what else should people who are just getting into cornhole or professional cornhole specifically be aware of?
We've got our teams format starts out Thursday night on CBS. Then we have our ACL Pro Tour, which is Friday on ESPN Networks and ESPN Plus. And then we've got our Super Bowl event taking it down on Saturday night from 10 to midnight. So we're excited to have three straight days on linear television showcasing the best of the best in the world. And I can't say enough about Dion and what he's meant to me and to the sport and to help it advance our cause.
All right. Well, Stacy, Dion, thanks so much for joining us today. We'll look forward to watching all the action, and best of luck to you guys this weekend and moving forward.
All right. Appreciate it, David.
Hey, thank you, David. And if I could say anything, right, as we talk, this is just to get a little inside of the organization, right? This organization has good people involved. And I don't think that you can say that about a lot of organizations. But this is ran on real core good people. And if you do choose to come out, you will see exactly why it runs and the energy flows the way that it does. Because you have guys like Stacy and Marlon and people that are involved that help this thing flow and the nice waves that it flows. And it's one of the coolest things that you'll ever see. And these people are extremely skilled. And I'm just getting more excited. But we appreciate you. Thank you. And thank you both, Stacy and David. But appreciate you guys.
That's it for today. If you're enjoying the show, share an episode with a friend you think would like it too. Or just leave us a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We will see you tomorrow.